All right, looks like we're live. Hey, Jerry, how are you, man? Thanks for coming in. You can hear me okay? All right, cool. Looks like we've got a couple of people in. Now, just to let everyone know, there's about a 10-second delay between when I stop talking and basically between when I actually say it in real time and when you guys hear it. So it's a little weird. I'll get used to that. It just takes a little bit of time to adjust to seeing one camera in real time and then the other one 10 seconds later. So anyway, all good. Thanks, Jerry. It looks like we're and mate, Marzi. I'm not sure how to pronounce that name exactly, but thanks for joining in as well. Good to see a few of the regulars here. We've got four already. So I'm just going to get into this, and if people join whenever they join, then they can rewatch this if they need to. So I guess what we can do, we can what I wanted to do actually was go through some of the amps I've had over the years and sort of expose how stupid I've been when it comes to gas. So yeah, this should be interesting. The reason why I thought I'd start with this is because see this guy back here? It's a PV Bandit 112. Guess how many of them I've had? Had four. It's pretty bad. But this is the number fourth or the fourth amp that I've had. And yeah, of the PV Bandit series. And I've had the exact same one. It's just such a great amp. And I found this on eBay super cheap. I couldn't pass it up. It's just such a great amp. It's plug and play, no pedals, and it sounds awesome. So I'm gonna play a little bit, show you how it sounds. This is the Drive Vintage channel. So they sound great, and this is bridge pickup, neck pickup. Yeah, so I got this amp for a bargain, and I couldn't pass it up. It was, you know, $160 Australian, which is nothing. So, yeah. Anyway, I put my Texas Heat speaker in there, and it occurred to me that, being that it's number four, that the fourth PV Bandit that I've owned that's exactly the same as the others, that I put a list together of all the amps I've had. So this is really bad, and this doesn't include, I should point out, it doesn't include the practice amplifiers. So anything that can be used for gigs basically is what I'm going to put in this list. So yeah, here we go. So Jerry has just asked me, or Hutch from BA has asked me, what mic is that? I'm just using this. It's just the blue Yeti microphone, and that's the only mic I've got in the room. I had a listen back to the podcast that I did, and I noticed that even when I changed the mic levels, the audio didn't change. So I'm guessing the stream compresses it, so it shouldn't be spiking out. Theoretically, it should be fine. So, yeah, I'm just using that mic, the same one I'm talking into right now for the amp as well. So, Mr. Kareem asks me, is the Bandit solid state? It is, yeah. So, trans tube is basically just a term for tube emulation, but without it, actually, it's analog. It's not a digital deal. So whatever wizardry is inside it makes it sort of feel like a valve amp or a tube amp, but it isn't. It still weighs quite a bit though, and with the Texas Heat speaker in there, it sounds pretty cool. So I'm going to switch over to some of my or my slideshow that I've put together. So unfortunately, I think for today, at least this first one, I'm going to swap over to my other monitor. And we'll scroll through some stuff, and yeah, and then I'll get back to the camera from time to time as well, And I'm monitoring the chat here. So if anyone has any questions about any of these amps that I'm going to go through, please let me know. Now, I know this is insane. I just can't believe I'm doing this publicly, but I thought, why not? So for those who have just joined, we've got some more people here now. I just want to tell you what's going on. We're going through a list of all the amps that I've had over the years in terms of giggable amplifiers and not the practice amps, so just the ones that I can take out and play live. And it all happened when I realized I had four of these PV Bandits over the years. So let's go ahead and do this. All right. Oh, no. It's always the way, hey? Screen shares decided it doesn't want to work. That's fantastic. Let me just have a bit of a mess around here, see if I can get it working. One sec. Oh, that sucks, man. Totally sucks. Anyway, I can't get that to work now because for some reason the screen sharing... Oh, let's try this button. Let's see what this does. Yeah, it's not working right now. Spewing. Sorry, guys. I had a presentation set up as well. There's always something that goes wrong, I guess, when you try these things. But I tested this last time, and it seemed to be fine. So I'm not sure what is going on right now, but anyway, sorry guys, we're gonna have to just do it in terms of, yeah, I've got it on my monitor right here, so I'll go through it. And yeah, so this is from 1999 to 2015, so let's do this. I might download this entire live stream and then put it over the top just so it makes a little bit more sense a little later on. So the first amp that I bought was a Samick. It was like a 40 or 30 watt solid state amp, and you know, I was new to playing guitar and I thought why not. So I didn't know any better about brands or any of that sort of stuff. I was still green in terms of, you know, knowing what was out there. And you know, it sounded okay in the shop. It had a 12-inch speaker. I thought, this is great. So that's what I played for a little while. And for some reason, I couldn't work out that the sound just wouldn't sort of jump off stage like a lot of other players. And I couldn't work out what that was. So eventually, a good friend of mine said, it's a piece of junk. Samick's crap. He basically, yeah, hammered me and just said, look, get something else. So at that time, I got a Karlsbro amplifier, which, you know what? I don't know anything about Karlsbro. I bought it off a friend. It's a solid state amp, but it was around 60 watts and it was so much louder. And that was the first time that I started realizing like my playing was up there with other, not in terms of chops, but my sound was up there in terms of other players. So the Karlsbro amp, which I don't even have a photograph of, definitely helped me work out that amps play a huge part of tone. And then after that, I got the Yorkville Trainor, the YCV40, which is a great amp. And what can I say? It's kind of like a Fender, but it was a little less expensive. And a friend of mine sort of talked me in, same friend sort of talked me into buying that because it was just a little bit different. And I thought, you know what, that's pretty cool. And it had a 12-inch speaker. It was 40 or 45 watts or something like that. So it was basically like a Hot Rod Deluxe. And, it's that sort of thing. So I'll answer questions as we go too. So hi, Michael. And Michael asks, what's this guitar? It's the Little Crow Corvino SD. It's got a mini humbucker and a Telecaster bridge pickup. So sounds pretty cool. It's just going into the Bandit back there. And so the Yorkville Trainor is a really cool amp. And yeah, what can I say? I think it definitely improved my sound. Some of the best sound I ever had or best tone I ever had was with the Yorkville trainer and my Epiphone 335 back in the day. That was just a great combination. So from there, I upscaled and got the Fender DeVille, or the Hot Rod DeVille 212. And this wasn't the version 3. This was back in the day where it was just that amp. So it was a killer amp. Probably the nicest clean recording amplifier I ever had. Also one of the heaviest too. It was the first amp that I tore a shoulder muscle lifting it. I used to live in a property that was had 30 something steps to get to the house, and was in sort of in the hills. And I remember carrying this amp one time, and I could just feel my upper shoulder muscles just tearing. So it's pretty nasty. But great amplifier. And basically, excuse me, that was one of the amps where I realized, wow, Fender amps are beautiful. So yeah, this is, I think Ray, the tech guy, is onto something here. This is gonna go into some of the Fender amp history as well. It's gonna go through all the amps that I've had since I started playing. So yeah, we're up to slide 5 right now. So for those who have missed the start of this, you can rewatch it later on. And then I found the PV Bandit number 1. So the PV Bandit, great. I gigged with it for a long time. It was light, and was doing a lot of small gigs at that point where that was plenty. And if it wasn't, I had the DeVille still. So yeah, I had both those amps for quite a long time. And I also did a gig once where I ran them both, which was awesome. I really enjoyed that. It was very loud. And then I got an amp called the Twin Amp. And for those just joining as well, I apologize for not being able to show you the slideshow. It worked last time on the test. So anyway, we'll keep going. I got a Fender Twin, but it wasn't just a 65 reissue. It was the Fender Twin Amp, which had a drive channel, believe it or not. It was actually pretty good. I thought I'd get better tones out of that than the Fender DeVille. But looking back on it, I didn't. I think the benefit of the Twin was it did have a better drive channel than the DeVille had. But, and it also had a power soak thing on the back. You could click a button and it would halve the output to 50 watts from 100. But it just didn't have the niceness like recording with it. So that's why I kind of got rid of that. And it weighed a ton. I remember when I bought it from this guy, he's a weird guy, but I bought this amp from the shop, and he goes, "Oh, no, don't want you coming back in a week telling me it's too heavy." Because obviously he'd already had it returned. So I had it for about 6 months and tried to record with it on an album called Moving On. And I ended up, the DeVille was just so much better. And then I found a little amp in a local secondhand shop called Crate V30, which is basically a 30 watt amp, and it had a tone tubby speaker in there. It had a really great drive channel. The clean channel was okay, but the drive channel was where it was at. And unfortunately, that amp, you know, I got it really, really cheap, but it had so many a few problems with the valves. I finally got it sorted out, but by that time a guy wanted to buy it, so I sold it. I thought, yep, done. But anyway, that's that. So that was one of those amps that was small, compact, and really quite loud. It was cool. There's some videos of that on YouTube as well. Probably my favorite Fender combo at the time. One of the most favorite I've had was the Hot Rod Deluxe White Lightning, which was basically like a white Hot Rod Deluxe, but it was it had a vintage 30. Oh no, it had a, what was it called? A G12 Century Vintage speaker in there. So it had this neodymium speaker, but it gave it a really nice quality. It was nice and clean, nice and full sounding. And yeah, it had a really different vibe. It recorded great. I really shouldn't have sold that amp. That's one that you can't get now. I guess I could just buy a stock one and put a different that particular speaker in there. But I've got a Blues Deluxe now. Anyway, it's pretty much the same thing. But yeah, that White Lightning amp was really quite sweet. And then look, these aren't all in order, but I'm pretty sure the next amp I got was the first Blues Deluxe, which I had for a long, long time as well. So that's not the current one that I've got either. So this is the one before that. I swapped out speaker, put a Lowrance speaker in there. And yeah, the Lowrance speaker is made in Australia. It sounded really nice. Took out some of the harshness of the amp and warmed it up and rounded it out and kind of made it, the speaker broke up as well. So it sort of was pushed over the edge quite easily. It was a really cool speaker. And then I found the Tech 21 212, which is the Trademark 60. It's another solid state amp, which I had for a while, actually. I had this for quite some time. I ended up selling it to a really good friend of mine who wanted it for his son. And yeah, it was great. So that's another example of a great amp that isn't a tube or a valve amp, is the Tech 21 stuff. They make really good sounding amps and they're light as well. All right. So I had a whole lot of other amps in this period as well. Like I was lucky at one point in time, I found things really cheap and then I'd resell them. So a lot of the stuff that I bought or some of the stuff that I bought was just with the intention of knowing I could sell it for a little bit more. I guess that's the little entrepreneur in me back then. So yeah, I bought a Laney Vise. It's like a 212 Laney, basically. It was a 30 watt combo. I found this to be pretty lackluster, both clean and dirty. It sounded okay with pedals, but it was too big and just really didn't cut it. So yeah, I wonder if I should move the webcam to the other monitor. Anyway, let's just keep going for now. Like I said, the slideshow will be up post-production. For some reason, I can't stream the slide as well right now, which sucks. Sorry, guys. And then back to another Bandit. Bandit number two. So I bought another one. I got it cheap again. Probably didn't have it that long. And then over to the PV Delta Blues, which was a really cool amp. And yeah, it was it's one of those amps that the first one that I had was great. It worked fine. Later versions of the PV had reverb problems, a really known oscillation issue, which completely sucks. But the PV Bandits are, the PV Delta Blues are pretty solid amps in my opinion. They sound really unique as well. They've got a sort of heavy mids thing going on and really thick sounding. They can get a little bit spiky if you're not watching the top end, but 15-inch speakers do sound a little bit different. So it was the 15-inch speaker version that I had originally. And yeah, so if anyone's got any questions, let me know too. I'll check the chat again. Jerry just said my album, Another Rainy Day, is great. So thanks so much, man. The new one is so close to being finished. I'm still waiting on one of my friends to finish some vocal parts. She had to move house and stuff. So it'll be done by the end of the year at the very, very latest because, yeah, either way now, if it's not finished soon, I'm just going to get it pressed the way it is. So, yeah, my new album's great. I'm really excited by it. I think it sounds pretty good. So thanks for that, guys. All right, and also I've added my digital downloads to intheblues.com.au. If you click on the music shop, you can get the high res or the higher encoded MP3s on there as well. All right, so believe it or not, after that PV Delta Blues, I got another Bandit. All right, then I was into some Vox territory for a while. I played these amps for quite some time. It started with an AC15. No, I started with the AC30, I'm pretty sure, and it was amazing. It might have been the 15. I can't remember anymore, but I had both of them roughly the same time, and with a Telecaster, the Vox amps are amazing. So, yeah, you got to – it's just such a classic combination. Think Brad Paisley, you know, although he plays Dr. Z amps, they're kind of modeled off Vox amps, and most country players will play a Vox and a Tele, and they sing. That was just a great combination. Even though I wasn't playing country music, it was still a great combination of tone. All right, so that's the AC30 and the AC15. Both of them had the greenback speakers in there. And then I got an Egnator amplifier. Man, this amp sounded so good at at home and in the shop, I was like, I was totally blown away by it. It was one of the nicest amps I'd heard in a shop and at home. I was just like, man, this is going to be great when I get it out live. I took it out live that weekend and it was horrible. It's just horrible. The heads are great, but the speaker boxes are just terrible. They vibrate and do all kinds of weird things in certain notes. If you do get an Egnator or if you have one, put it through some other box and it's going to sound amazing. So, yeah. All right. So after that experience, I took it back and I got my Fender Deluxe Reverb Amp 65 Deluxe, which I loved. Still one of the best amps I've ever owned, ever played. Why did I sell it again? Because I guess I had a 68 Custom Deluxe Reverb as well at one point with it. But yeah, I don't know why I got rid of that. I had it for a long, long time. I had it up until recently. And it might be an amp that I buy again down the track. Believe it or not, I got another PV Delta Blues after that. This one had more problems than any amplifier that I've ever purchased. I couldn't run the reverb past two or three before the whole thing started sort of oscillating. So basically what that means is you get this feedback loop, makes it unusable. It wasn't a valve thing either. I had it checked about 10 times. It was just bad design. I ended up with a Blues Junior because everyone else had a Blues Junior and I thought, man, these amps are pretty cool. So I got the gold one, which was the Gold Rush, I think it's called, with a green back. And it was cool. It was a great little amp. Wasn't really giggable, but it was good fun. And I had it at home when I moved into this apartment area here. And it was fine for doing home stuff. And I'd mic it up once or twice as well. At gigs, it was fine. So Mr. Zashin just asked me, hope everything's going smoothly with your live setup. It was. I unfortunately, my slideshow presentation is not working. Well, it is, but the Google or the YouTube thing I've got going on here won't allow me to share it today for some reason. It worked in the test. It just, yeah, nothing seems to come up in the option today for some reason. So anyway, I'll get this sorted out for next time. And like I said, if you rewatch any of this, it'll be up later, maybe tomorrow or something with the slideshow. So anyway, hey, thanks for that. Izio Shaba just said, love your playing. Thanks. I enjoy it. I'm not Mr. Technical, you know, on guitar, but I play and try to make things feel good. That's it's always been my goal. And yeah, all right, so back to the slideshow. So we're up to 23 now of 31. Man, it's such a long slideshow. So I'm going to try and just fly through some of this a little quicker for you guys. After that, I got a Two Rock, which was the Studio Pro 22. It was a head and box. Was a decent amplifier. I thought it was the best amp I'd ever heard for a while. I think it's almost like brand brainwashing maybe, but I lost all my tops. It was just, I didn't like it at all. And it's funny because Rick was, my friend Rick, Dr. Rick from the channel and from the band and all that stuff, was, he bought a Two Rock as well. And he was brainwashed until he played a Fender again and just went, hang on, what is this? All my tops are back and it sounds awesome. So yeah, I don't know. Two Rock was an expensive lesson and it was the last boutique amp that I basically purchased. So, okay. So Slashmaster 1989 asks me, what's your favorite guitar? What's your fave guitar you have ever bought? I would say it's still my Gold Top. It's the 56 VOS Custom Shop Gibson. I'll get it out soon. It's just in the cupboard back there. And my other favorite would be that these are the ones that I've purchased, would be the 1952 reissue Telecaster, the one with the Joe Budden pickups and the new stainless steel frets. Since I got the fret upgrade, it plays so much better than it ever did. So they would definitely be my favorite two that I purchased. This is definitely one of my favorite guitars of all time. I didn't purchase this one. I was actually gifted this, which was amazing, from the guys at Little Crow. And this basically is like the best of both worlds. It's kind of like a Tally here and like kind of like a Les Paul with a mini humbucker at the neck. So it's nice and still got that steely sound. One of my other favorite guitars is definitely my ES-335, the Tokai one. In terms of 335s, that's the best one I've ever played. But my favorite guitar would probably still be the Les Paul with the P90s. Such a great guitar. All right. All right, I'm just laughing at some comments here. I'll get to more of them in a second. All right, so after the Two Rock debacle, I moved over to another deluxe reverb, which we're getting into more modern territory. So, I got the 68 Custom Deluxe, which was great, but I had two deluxe reverbs at that time. So I sold the 68 first, kept the 65, and then sold the 65 because I'm an idiot. And now we're getting into the Mustang territory. So the Mustang 3 was next. The Mustang 4 was after that. I'm just going to skip through a few of these a bit quicker for you guys. Then I realized that the Blues Deluxe was, Fender Blues Deluxe was one of the best amps I've had. So I went back to that and I still got that. I then found another Yorkville Trainor. So Yorkville Trainor number 2, which was the blue one, the YCV50, I think it is. And that amp was cool. It was cool. It just wasn't as nice as the other amps that I had in the end. It sounded okay, but, I got it cheap and I moved it for about the same price that I bought it for. So it wasn't a loss at all, which was good. And then we're up to my Fender Super Reverb, which is still the best guitar amp that I've ever owned. And some of the best tone that I've ever heard is through this Super Reverb. I'm not saying through like my own playing, but other guys that I've seen use them. And it's great. I'm yet to hear an amp come close to this side by side. I just think it's one of the best Fender clean amps of all time. Takes pedals extremely well. The reverb's amazing. The louder you turn it up, the better it sounds. So the Super Reverb is my favorite amp right now. And that takes me back to the last purchase, which is this, the PV Bandit number 4. I think I skipped a Bandit in the actual presentation there because I was a little embarrassed, but basically, I'm back to having a little solid state amp I can move around and play at home and take out to a jam night and not stress about it. You know, like it's one thing to take all I run jam nights as well. So I don't like, you know, having my A-team gear there a lot of the time. So the PV Bandit's great for that kind of stuff. It's much like the Mustang, nice and easy to get around, loud and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Christopher asked me the Two Rock debacle, what happened. Basically, there's three of us that are huge gear nerds. It's me, Rick, and Brian. I really took one for the team buying that Two Rock. I just think it was, for the price, a little lackluster, and I'll get into it in more detail, but basically the amps are fine. If you like the sound, they're fantastic. But I find you just lose a lot of your tops. You can try to dial it back in, but it just, I don't know, something about them I just don't like. And it's just a personal thing. I just think going back to a Fender amp basically showed me that that particular boutique amp is just, it's more name than anything else. So when I had my Supersonic 60, which I also missed in that presentation, I actually preferred the Supersonic 60 more. Even at low volumes, it had a better like drive stage and everything. It was just more usable for my type of music. Not to say that everyone's going to agree with that, but it's just one of those things. A lot of guys that really wanted Two Rock amps tried mine and just sort of went, it's all right. You know, like The only time I really loved the Turok was having it up like six or seven or eight on the master volume, but to get it there, it was so loud. The other thing was too, I plugged my Blues Junior head into the cabinet and it sounded like the Turok. So yeah, that's you know, pretty much says something about the sounds. A lot of it was, it seemed like in the speaker box. So yeah. So for those who have just joined, let me just recap. I've just gone through all 35 of the amps that I've had since I first started playing in like 1999 or somewhere around there when I first started playing electric guitar. And yeah, so it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So yeah, if you have any questions about any of the amps, feel free to throw some questions this way and I'll open it up now. So anyone that wants to ask me anything, so feel free. I'll let's get on this now. All right, I'll check out some of these. I haven't been much in the chat as much lately. Here we go. All right, tubes rule, but heavy. Yeah, I agree with that. I still think tube amps are. They do. They have a sound that in certain live situations can't be beat. But in other situations, you know, amps like the Mustang or the Bandit might be better because lower volumes is where valve amps can struggle depending on the situation with volume, all that kind of stuff. All right. My favorite is the Heritage 335 copy. Heritage makes some great guitars, man. So that's from Slashmaster 1989. Just made a statement. And I played some Heritage guitars at Jerry's a couple of years back. And, man, they sound awesome. So, yeah, absolutely. Rex Norris just made a statement. Thanks to your reviews, I purchased the Mustang 4. I really like the versatility as well as the lightweight. Your patches also helped a lot. So, hey, thanks for that, man. I'm glad you're enjoying it. The Mustang amps are definitely good fun, and it seems like they've multiplied, especially where I live. I think all my friends have got one now as well. It's mental. So I'm glad you're digging it. I don't know if I'll be doing any more patches pretty soon at Forum. I'm kind of all patched out, so I might leave that up to someone else. I might do some more coming up. I'm not too sure. So Izio asks, what are you going to perform next? I'm not sure if that means on you like demo or what, but I've got another demo of another Gretsch guitar coming up, it's already scheduled. It should be up next weekend. It is the white guitar. I didn't bring it in here today. It's in the other room right now, boxed up. But it's a really nice guitar, and it sounds great. I've got some backing tracks and stuff coming up with that. And if you're talking about live gigs, I've got another gig coming up next Saturday at the Brunswick Hotel in Melbourne. So yeah, I'll be filming that as well. Hopefully get a couple of clips to post as well if it all goes well. And then I've got a whole lot of pedals that I haven't demoed lately. I don't upload daily. I think it's not helpful for the channel if I do that. So I spread my stuff out. And so I've got some more pedal demos. I've got six more pedal demos on the floor over here. I'll show you one of them, actually. I'll go get one. What we got? All right, so I took a gamble on some pedals from overseas, and they looked pretty cool, and they gave me the sales pitch, so I bought most of their range just to see what they were like. But yeah, I'm not going to stock these on the shop or anything. This is it. It's called the Compelling Drive. The names aren't great, you know, but yeah, it's by a company called Oral Dream, so that's with an A. Not an O, but yeah, it They're all right. They're just not quite up to my standards, I guess, when for stuff that I'd like to stock. But, you know, for doing demos, I'll demo whatever I can. So I'll do some demos on these and list them up on my web shop at some point in time. And, yeah, so for those who don't know about my store, by the way, I opened a ex-demo shop / new shop at intheblues.com.au, so you can check that out if you choose to. So, all right, Ray the Tech Guy, you're going to try and demo the new Fender Bass Breaker before I dump a bucket of money on one. I'd love to, man. The problem is I live in Australia and I have no idea how long they're going to take to get here. That's usually the huge problem with this stuff is Australia gets things a lot later than everyone else. So, yeah, I'd love to. Sorry about that. Just getting thirsty. Yeah, we'll see how we go. If I can find a shop that has one, I'm just going to flat out ask them if I can come in and do a demo of it. So there's a really cool shop not far from here where I bought, what did I buy from them? The Super Reverb, of course. And yeah, they seem to get stuff in pretty quickly. So I'm hoping they get one and I'll be able to do that. I'll be able to do a demo on one pretty soon. But yeah, we'll see how we go. All right. Ever try any of the Squire Classic Vibe, Strat or Tally? That's from the Daddy 135. Yep, I've owned both. Two of my demos that I did on YouTube, some of the most popular on YouTube, I think, as well. So I'll send you a link. I'll post a link in the description here. You can check them out. Yeah, my internet's a little slow because I'm uploading the video, so bear with me for a sec. Nah, I'm gonna have to wait. It's not letting me access stuff properly while I'm streaming. Sorry, guys. Yeah, basically, just go to my channel and type in Squire Classic Vibe. I think the Telecaster is fantastic. The Classic Vibe. I think it's one of the nicest, cheapest guitars out there by a mile. The neck, the finish on it's great. The sound's really good. Yeah, I love it. I picked one up while I was away in the US last time, and even with this all stock, it sounds fantastic. I'm not a huge fan of Strats anymore. I've really gone off them just in general. So the Classic Vibe Strat as a guitar is nice, but you got to really dig the Strat tone if you want to buy one. So you're not going to play any music. Yeah, I can noodle around. Absolutely. Let me grab my other guitar for a bit here. Let's see what we got. All right, what I might do actually is last time I did the live stream test, I got asked to show people some turnarounds. So if you're into blues guitar and you want to learn some cool turnarounds, I'm going to show you some of the ones that I've learned that are really cool. So oh, cool. So the daddy just said he's picked up a CV Strat and Mustang One for $150. That's great, man. That's unbelievable. the Australian dollar is so bad. Like to go get a Classic Vibe now would be like $700 or $800 Australian dollars, which is just mental. But yeah, good stuff. Cool, cool. So anyway, I'll show you a couple of turnarounds and maybe some tone or whatever. So this is the Bandit on Bridge Pickup. I'm not very loud, so it probably sounds a little fizzy, but anyway, yeah, it sounds great. I'll show you this cool turnaround for people who are interested in this sort of stuff. So instead of doing like, that that way, you can do it this way. It's one of my favorite turnarounds. So you just basically, if we're in A, you're holding down the A note on the E string, and you're going up from the B string on the second fret back to the fifth fret. So yeah, it's a cool little it's a cool little turnaround that I use all the time in my demos. You'll see it mostly over the shuffle stuff, like. You can also use it as a riff as well. It's sort of like a major thing there. So yeah, it's a cool little turnaround, that one. Mr. Zashin says he shit himself when I put the Gibson on the spinning chair. So the only reason I did that, this is the Tokai Les Paul. This is a Chinese guitar, believe it or not. I've done demos of this already. It is unbelievable. I love Tokai stuff. I'm a huge fan. And, I've replaced the bridge with a Tunematic, what are they called? Tone Pros bridge, which I did a video of as well. And, yeah, they're fantastic, man. It's such a great guitar for the price. This is, as great as the classic vibe quality is coming out of China, I think it's some of the best guitars I've ever played. These are on another level. So if you do get a chance to check out some Tokai stuff, definitely do it. Just be careful if you're in the US because I think there's some Tokai copies, which is mental. It's a copy of a copy. Doesn't make any sense. All right. So I also got asked by Izio, any particular key you noodle around in typically? Yeah, I tend to stick to A and C for some reason. It's mostly because a lot of the songs I write are in A or C and B. But if I'm just playing blues, I'll tend to sort of stick in E a lot as well. Like, I kind of like that open sound. So yeah, I don't know. All right, so do I ever play tune down half a step like SRV? I've tried that before. And by getting yes and no. I did that for a while when I was playing strats and I had heavy gauge strings. I gave it a good shot. But when I went to jam with other bands, if they were playing a song, it meant I needed a capo. And then it just got too confusing at that point in my development, I guess. So I just went back to playing 11s in normal tuning. But, I wasn't as hugely influenced by Stevie Ray as most blues guitar players are. I like what he does. I think it's great. But there's so many people cloning that. It kind of ruined it early on for me, especially where I live. There were guys wearing those hats and the shirts and the neckerchiefs and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought to myself, come on, man. It's not even Texas in the 1980s. Like, what were they thinking? So, for me, that was I didn't want to be Stevie Ray Vaughan. I was more into sort of the touch finesse of Clapton's playing. And that's kind of where I took a lot of my influence from, as well as other players as well. But, Albert King's another one as well. Like, I love, they say Stevie's like took what Albert King had and blah, blah, blah. But Albert, man, his attitude, I love the attitude of Albert King. He's just a dude. So, I learned a lot of his stuff as well. I used to play it a lot. I still do. I'm in a weird position here. I got the guitar up on my leg, so I should probably just stand up. But Tokais from the 80s made in Japan. Yeah, so the Japanese Tokais, I've got one in the cupboard. It's my 335. It's a really nice guitar. I might grab a couple of different guitars out here and just noodle around and show you some of the differences between the tones. How does that sound? Let's see how we go. All right, sorry about that. This is the, my webcam's gone funny. It's all bright now. This is my favorite 335 that I've ever played. This is the Tokai made in Japan. And yeah, it's a real ripper. So let's have a listen to this guy. I'll move back a bit. It might make it a bit easier. Tune. Just got this out of the cupboard. So yeah, it's a beautiful guitar, and I've had an actual Gibson Les Paul at one point in time. A Gibson 335 at one point in time, and then comparing it to this, there was no comparison, and I mean that in terms of tone and just overall feel. This just played so much better as well. So yeah, it's a fantastic guitar. Definitely check out the Tokai stuff. I don't work for them or anything either. I'm a big fan, so I pay for all my stuff. Yeah, you could be right there, Jerry. I think it is the reflection. It's making the camera go funny. Yeah, I got my production lights facing forwards too this time, so it's not as bright as it was last time. All right, so Rex Norris says, Freddie King Hideaway, still one of his favorites. Yeah, Freddie King's fantastic, man. I used to, you know, I learned a lot of his licks as well. It's like, he's sort of like, Clapton's kind of like a refined Freddie King in terms of, you know, licks. Plays a lot of the Freddie King licks, but without that sort of rawness to them. And yeah, I totally agree. It's fantastic. Have you ever owned a Fender Clapton signature Strat or had any experience playing one? As a left-hander, I haven't had a chance to play one, but my friend has 20 guitars modeled off that Fender Strat, so the V-necks and Licensor pickups and the Active Boost. He's going to be in the Gas documentary that I'm working on. So, yeah, they're all modeled pretty much after that particular guitar, except maybe two of them which have the Zexcoil pickups in there, and I think they sound the best. But, yeah, look, they're good guitars. If you like the feel of that particular neck, then they're for you. For me, I kind of still like a fatter neck than the Clapton neck, but, you know, they're good guitars. A lot of guys swear by them, and, yeah, I don't think much of that Active Boost. I'd rather just use a pedal. I think it gets a little too fizzy with the Active Boost on, but, you know, everyone likes different things, so it's all subjective and whatever, but... Yeah, I think you could do a lot worse than a Clapton guitar. I think they're all right. But, yeah, Licensor pickups really do have their own sound. So if you're into it, go for it. If you're not, check out some Zexcoil pickups because they sound more stratty, whereas the Licensor's sort of a little bit more muted on the top end, a little bit more rolled out maybe. Okay, so. All right, Paul Lauren, is it Logren? Asked me, what's your favorite neck profile on a Fender type guitar? So I love the 52 reissue Telecaster neck profile. I'm not exactly sure what that falls under. I can't remember the name of it. It's like a C maybe, but not a modern sort of neck. It's a bit fatter. That would be my favorite on a Fender guitar by a mile. It feels, I got really large hands for a small guy. So yeah, I can grab basketballs, no problems, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, for me, like the modern Strat necks are just a little bit too, they're just a little bit too thin for me, to be honest. And that's why I can't get into my Strat right now. And being a lefty, I can't find a replacement neck other than the Warmoth ones, which I'm sort of taking a bit of a gamble on, that feels the way that I want it to feel. So that's why I don't play my Strat anymore. My hands just, they're just not comfortable playing it. All of these other guitars that I have fatter necks. And the Little Crow is kind of based loosely on the 52 reissue neck as well. So it feels great to play it or pick it up and, you know, I have to think twice about it. It's comfortable and I have to put a lot of tension sort of this way on my here. I get sort of sore in here sometimes if I'm playing really thin necks. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it just does. Whereas if I've got a looser grip, it's much, much better. I can kind of just keep my hand at somewhat relaxed, I guess, anyway. So, yeah. The Daddy 135 asks, have you ever tried any Agile Les Pauls? No, I haven't. I've seen them around online, but never in person. So I haven't tried any of them, unfortunately. Oh, cool. So Mr. Kareem says, for your information, this one is the best sounding guitar on the stream right now. So we're going to swap over in a sec to the other Les Paul and see how we go. Now you know why I love this guitar so much. This is, you know, this is a beast. All right. I'll be right back. Oh, I love this thing. This is so good. All right, so earlier I got asked what my favorite guitar was that I had or have ever purchased, and this is it right here. Sorry about the lighting. It'll readjust in a sec. This is the Gibson Les Paul 56 reissue VOS, so vintage original spec, I think that stands for. And it still smells great. I love it. It's got P90 pickups in it. And if you've ever seen Sean Costello play, that's motivation enough for me to go and want to buy a guitar with P90s. This is just a beautiful, beautiful classic instrument. And yeah, you do get that single coil hum, as you could probably hear there. I turn around, it'll go. But you also get great single coil bite that sounds fatter than any Strat. So nasty and all the good things. This is a really raw sounding guitar. I absolutely love it. And yeah, it's definitely done some stuff for the lighting. So what I might do is just show you guys the difference between P90s and the humbucker pickups of the other Les Paul. Might do a quick little A-B between them. So let me grab it. Let's make some room here. Right. So I play the same thing twice on the neck. Oh, it's a little out of tune, but we'll work with it. fault the tone of this thing, you know, it really sounds good. So Sean Conley says the PV amp sounds really good. It looks small. It's the same size as a Hot Rod Deluxe. So in terms of physical size, it's quite big. It's just that it's quite a fair way back. So it probably the perspective of it may look smaller than it is. It's 80 watts RMS, like true RMS. And I recently swapped the speaker out. I took the stock one out. I put my Eminence Texas Heat speaker in there, which maybe makes it not quite as loud with that speaker in there, but it definitely sounds pretty smooth. So, yeah. All right, cool. Bright lights, big city. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of the PV Bandit amp, and it's something that I'm going to take to the jam night tonight with probably this guitar, and I'm too sure yet. I might take my 335 out. It's been a while since I've used it. And, yeah, I make my guitar decisions based on which strings are more fresh. See, what my friend Rick does, anytime he needs to change strings on one of his Telecasters, he'll go buy another Telecaster. But I can't do that. So, yeah, I just have to persist until all my strings are worn out. But, yeah, I played the Bandit last Friday night with my Little Crow guitar, no pedals, and it absolutely sang. However you say it. So yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. I enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, just the simplicity of it. And it's a little something different too. All my friends now have Mustang 3s. And that sort of is what where it kind of puts me off, you know, like if everyone has the same amp as me. Like it's happened a few times with amps where I bought amps and then friends of mine have all got it as well. So that's why I went back to the Bandit. It's one of those things where it's just different. That's the only reason. It's no better than the Mustang 3 or whatever. It's just different. And I can plug in vintage channel, drive channel, and it sounds great. The cleans on it are great too, which we haven't even looked at. But let's just go back. So this is the clean tone of it. Here's another little blues tip for everybody. I'm going to show you a different chord to play just to mix it up. All right, so if someone's playing like, let's just do a bog standard blues, most people would be playing this, yeah? Something like a seventh chord over the A. I play this chord. Oop. Let's have a look at this one. So the T-Bone Walker chord, it's awesome. So you'll hear this in Stormy Monday, for example, with that arm. Playing it what looks like a semitone or half a fret down, half a step down, I should say. Great chord to use over blues. Gives it a different voice. You can also you hear guys like Mayer played on that. Every day I have the blues sort of version like that. You can play it sort of as a 70 sound as well, but that chord rocks, so definitely get into that. I don't post tab either, so that's just pause it on that point and you'll be able to pick out the fingering, I guess, is like this. Hopefully that works. I don't know. It's kind of like some random bad lesson online here. But anyway, that's play some different chords over the blues. It really gives it a different flavor. Or parts of the chords. You know, you can play just two notes of the seventh. Some extra notes to it as well, rather than just strumming up and down. You can just play sections of it with your rhythm hand. Here's another seventh chord that I love as well. I'll show you this one. Here, there, D, and then on the B string over here. So this seventh chord, hardly anyone uses this one. So instead of just playing, you know, this seventh or going up to here. Sorry, where am I? I'm in A. So yeah, you can play it here. It's a really cool sound. All right, so Mason Austin Green, welcome to the live stream. Sorry, I had to bail on you before. We were having a chat, and I was like, I got to go, man. Live stream starting soon. So, yeah, what is my favorite scale length? I don't know the technical lengths of guitars and all that kind of stuff. I don't really know the radius of fretboards and all that kind of thing either. I do know that that Les Paul and this Les Paul feel great to play, as does my Telecaster. My favorite guitar to play would be the 52 Reissue Tele with the, like I said earlier, the stainless steel frets in terms of familiarity, I guess. But I'm at home on most of these guitars now. Like, I can swap between any of the Les Pauls or the Little Crow or the ES-335 and all that kind of stuff and not wonder where I am on the fretboard, or they don't feel different to play anymore. The only one that still gets me is the length of the neck on the SG. So that would be the one that I'm still not 100% comfortable on. Last weekend I played my SG and then went to my Telecaster and it felt really funny. But I'm open to almost any guitar, and I think the more that I play all these different guitars, the easier it is. I don't really think too much about scale or neck angle or anything. It just doesn't really bother me at all anymore. I don't know. Hey, And is in the Anad is in the chat room. So howdy. Thanks for joining in. And yeah, I have a forum also at intheblues.net, which some of these guys are involved in. So if you're into discussion boards, definitely check that out. So thanks for joining in. And Robert Swift asked me, do I miss my Squire Telecaster? I do, actually. It was a really nice guitar, and I had those MJS pickups in there, which I've still got in my little guitar pile of stuff behind the amp there. But yeah, I think the Classic Vibe, I was getting confused there for a sec. I was reading the Classic Vibe. Tellies are great, and it's a guitar that I've seen professionals play as well as beginners, and they're fantastic. So I do have some regrets on selling it, but at the same time, my number one Tally is beautiful. So, you know, if I didn't have that, it would be a different case. But you know, my main Telecaster does feel better in my hand, but not to take anything away from the Classic Vibes, because I absolutely love the Classic Vibe stuff. None of the stuff that I buy or say that I really dig isn't factual. Like, if I am a huge fan of something, I let people know about it, and on my videos where I'm not a huge fan of something, I generally won't say anything, because I like to sort of stay impartial as well. All right, so what do we got here? Hutch from BA asked me, how old were you when you first started to play guitar? So it's kind of a mixed question, I guess, for me. I learned recorder at school. I had the ability to, once I learned the songs, like, you know, like a proper recorder, this was in grade 5 and 6, I think it was. I could, like, memorize the tunes really easily. And then I wouldn't even need, like, the notation part of it anymore. So that was cool. And then I learned three or four chords in grade six here, which is sixth grade of elementary school in the US, whatever. I learned a D, E, A, G, and like E minor and A minor and stuff like that. I didn't learn anything else. I didn't touch the guitar again until late high school. So 6 years went by, and I think I was like 19 when I first started playing guitar again. I was living in Michigan at in Torch Lake, and this American guy, Rob, was playing some blues on an acoustic guitar, and he could like completely nail the stuff out of Eric Clapton Unplugged and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, this guy's great. You know, I want to start playing acoustic guitar. And he first showed me, like, I knew just those chords that I remembered, the A, E, and D or B or whatever it was. He showed me how to play the blues in a particular key. I can't remember if it was A or E at that time. I don't really remember. But, yeah, that was kind of like the motivation for me to want to learn how to play blues. And then, you know, as we were driving around Michigan at one point, a friend had From the Cradle, the Eric Clapton album, on, and that's when I got home and went, I'm going to buy an electric guitar, and I'm going to get into this a whole lot more. I did have an acoustic guitar before that. It was like a Samick left-handed acoustic guitar, which I don't really remember learning much of anything on before that. But yeah, 19 was probably the year where I first went, yeah, this is going to be fun. And then I remember around 2002, I thought to myself, my development improved quite a bit early on. I put a lot of work into it, which was more the point. And then around 2002 is where I thought, I'm going to try doing a little band thing for a while and, you know, just see where that goes. So, yeah, I'd say I'd been around guitar when I was a kid, but I didn't really learn anything. I learned, the early stuff I learned was like the Chili Peppers stuff, you know, the stuff like that. And then I also learned some, my mum actually taught me, oops. Yeah, that's it. Peter Gunn theme and the, whatever else. I learned some Spanish stuff. Yeah, I can't really remember it anymore. But, yeah, I learned a few basic or different things when I was a kid. But, yeah, anyway, I'll stop rambling. All right, can you tell the difference in tone between the two different scale lengths? That's from Mason. I'm not too sure. I don't know if it's just the tone between the scale length or the tone between the differences in pickups. All my guitars have different pickups and combinations, so I've never really thought about it like that before, but it's an interesting thought. I'd like to try two guitars with the same setup and different scale lengths. That'd be really cool to find out. So Louis Sander, oh man, I'm so sorry. I butcher names. I apologize. There's so many cool names out there that I'm not aware of, and when I try to say them for the first time, I butcher them, so I apologize. But he asked me, is that a PV Bandit? Yep. And if you want to rewatch the this podcast at a later date, I went through all my amps, and I figured it was time because this is PV Bandit number 4, the Red Stripe ones, which I absolutely love. The Red Stripe Bandits are pretty cool. So, all right. What else we got here? Yeah, I love the classic vibe there, it was a great guitar. You know, if I'm going back to the US in July, so I'll be over there in July, and I may pick up another sort of, I don't want to say budget guitar, but a cheaper guitar while I'm over there just to do some more playing as well. So either that or I'll grab something from Jerry's. We'll see how we go. Right, so Robert Swift, thank you for introducing us to the Svsound Overdrive. It's my go-to overdrive now. Any new pedals that are blowing you away? Right now, the quick answer is no. I haven't had a whole lot of like mind-blowing stuff. The best pedal I've had recently was the Anarchy Audio Flutterby Tremolo pedal, which I mentioned on my last live stream test. It was easily the best tremolo pedal I've tried, along with two others, the Desertronics tremolo, the optical tremolo, and the VFE pedal, VFE old school trem. If you're not a huge fan of tremolo, this won't mean much to you, but the Anarchy Audio is arguably the best of, not of those three, but those three are the best that I've ever tried. And that's a fantastic pedal. In terms of overdrive pedals, I'm sort of waiting to see what Mason sends down from the Tribus Greenchild company. So we're going to try out a new version of his pedal, which should be fun. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that and doing some demos of that for him. But yeah, I've been kind of taking it a little bit slow. I'm not slow on YouTube, but I've been not doing as many pedal demos lately. I kind of felt like I might have overkilled it recently with them. So I've been doing some guitar demos as well, which the Gretsch guitars are fantastic. I've got a couple of them in the other room. One of the demos went live today. And I've got some other demos coming up too, which I'm not going to talk about too much right now, but they'll be up in a few weeks. I'm hoping there's a product coming that is going to revolutionize my audio quality. Let's just put it that way. And yeah, I can't wait to work with these guys to do some more videos, and it's going to be used on all my videos after that point in time. So Ray the Tech Guy says, Florida, meet at Greet in Sarasota. Yeah, man, I'm happy to meet up with people. If anyone wants to catch up with me when I'm in the US, I'll be in Sarasota from about July 18 through to probably through till the end of the month, I think, somewhere around there. I'm also going to the Summer NAMM in Nashville, all being well. So, yeah, that should be fun. Jerry and I are carpooling up there. But, yeah, if anyone wants to come up to Jerry's Lefty Guitars and hang out and check out some guitars, all that kind of stuff, and say hi and have a jam, then let's do it. That'd be cool. Always happy to meet people. It's funny now, you know, the YouTube thing reaches more people than I'm still aware of. Like, I still don't think a lot of people know who I am, or not that, but you know, you just don't expect people to pull you up on the street. And that happens from time to time now. And also in shops, nearly every music store I go into, they're like, "Hey, you're the guy from the YouTube channel." Or, "Are you the guy from the YouTube channel?" I think once they hear my voice, they recognize me. But yeah, it's funny. It's funny. So, and asked me, have you ever tried Klein pickups in your Strat? I haven't had a chance to try any of their pickups. Sorry, no. No, I haven't. Definitely haven't tried any Klein pickups. And in response to Robert's question about the Overzoid, definitely check out the boost pedal that I demoed from SviSound as well. It's the 24-volt booster. It's a ball terror. Definitely check that out. I forgot to throw that in there. Loved your review of the Digitech Screamin' Blues Overdrive. I just picked up one from Musician's Friend for $29. Man, that's so good. You know, they were $89 here, and I got mine for like $60, and I thought, man, that's a bargain. That's tells you how expensive things are in Australia. Paul also asks, have you heard any or seen anything about the new Tone City pedals that are coming out? I got a message about that the other day. I'm not associated with Tone City anymore for a couple of personal reasons, but yeah, I'm not really dealing with them anymore. They screwed me over a couple of times, and they're really horrible to deal with. So and I shouldn't probably say that, but they're just distrustful. And no is the quick answer. They're clones of the pedals that I have in, which are the Move All pedals. So, yeah, once I found that out as well, I sort of went back to, you know, the guys that I could trust a little better. So, anyway, that's just my two cents on the matter. But that said, you know, the TC pedals do sound great and they look cool. They definitely are very cool. So, you know, if you can get them and you're backed by a warranty, then do it, because, you know, they are great pedals. But for me, peace of mind is always good for not only myself, but of being someone who sells pedals online now as well. But for customers, if one breaks, I don't have to try to fight to get that replaced. So Sorry about this lighting in here too. It's just doing weird things today on the webcam. All right. What's in here? Yeah. Whew. Look at this thing. This thing looks awesome. All right. Yeah, well, Paul just said, sorry to hear that. It's all good, man. It's part and parcel of dealing with companies overseas. You meet and work with some great companies and you meet and work with some horrible companies. So, and asked me if the VFE pedals are great. Sorry, yeah, they are. They're great. I still have some as well. Absolutely. I mean, I do plan on stocking them back in my shop as well at some point, but the Australian dollar sucks, so I'm not buying them at the moment because by the time they land, a lot more money spent, almost 40% more money. So I'm just holding off until the dollar picks up a little bit better. So hang on one sec, guys. All right. Yeah, over to the SG. So you guys have probably seen this on a few of my videos if you're regular subscribers or viewers, which I'm sure most of you guys are. So this has got the Tyson Tone Lab pickups in it still, and they're going to stay there until either I need to do more pickup demos. This is going to be my pickup demo guitar, or they're just going to stay in there. Because I think the pickups are great. They're really, really steely sounding. That's neck pickup, man. That's great. The bridge is nice and spanky and... Oh, that was a shit bend. So in relation to what Mason was asking me before, this is the only guitar that I'm like about 60% of the way there in terms of comfort. It's I'm not quite as comfortable on it. Oh, maybe more than that. Maybe 75% there. If I go from this to another guitar, that's the problem. If I play this exclusively one day, then it's fine because it feels like it's a bit further, like... It's a bit of a further reach back to E. It feels like E should be about here. So if you're not used to it, if you've never played an SG, due to their body, like the neck attaches right to where the body begins, basically. So you can reach all the way up to here. Like it's insane. But, it always feels like you're a bit further. You know, it feels like you actually need to reach further back to get back to E than where it would normally be. It would normally feel about here or here on a normal, any other guitar that you own, but it's actually a bit further back. Anyway, all right, so let's go back to this. Maybe it was the miking, Shane, but the Tyson sounded kind of shrill in the demo. Possibly, like I've been using that... isolation cabinet for a lot of recordings that soon to be changed. I won't be using that again coming up, so you don't have to worry about that. You'll probably notice my audio recording will get a whole lot better again very, very soon. I'll have more options at my disposal for doing demos. So I think they sound, these pickups, I don't know, I did two demos. So I did one where I compared these pickups, the new ones, to the old ones. And I also did a demo of just the pickups on their own. When you hear this live, I'm going to use this, I might take this down as well on the weekend and get some video footage of this guitar next weekend, I should say. Because it's really great. Like, I don't know, it sounds clear and all the good things about humbuckers that I like. I don't like modern humbuckers that are really thick and woolly sounding and all that kind of stuff. I actually like them to be a little bit clearer and a little toppier as well, because they just sound clearer when you start stacking them up with gain and.
I don't know. I think it's almost like a tally.
Yeah, I just think it. I love it. I reckon it sounds great. He makes really good pickups, but it goes to show that the pickups that were in this originally were fine because that's the thing. If you like the original pickups, it's a testament to how good. Epiphone, I was about to say, Tokai pickups are. So I used to have an Epiphone one of these years ago. It, yeah. Anyway, I won't bore you with that anymore. All right, let's go back to some comments here. The stocks were a bit warmer. I agree on the middle and bridge position, but on the neck, these have an openness on the neck pickup that just sounded a little bit more warm is a weird word. Warmer can mean muddy. I don't mean warmer like that. I just mean more balanced and yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just love these new pickups. I think they're great. But if I had to have the old pickups in here, it would be fine. Like realistically, you know, if you're upgrading pickups in a guitar, Tyson Tone ones are definitely a great choice. If you want the old original kind of type of tone, if you want something a little bit newer, then yeah, stick with your more modern pickups. It's up to you, but he makes some great stuff. So yeah, I really like them. Otherwise I wouldn't leave them in. Like if anytime I get stuff to do on YouTube, like pedals or pickups, if I don't like them, I don't keep them. I just sell them. That was the idea of me starting the tone shop. There's been plenty of stuff that I've got, you know, I probably sold 80 pedals last year, stuff I'll never use. So, you know, after the video is done and they're happy with it, I offload it. And there'd be no reason for me to keep these pickups in the guitar if I wasn't happy with them. So that's just food for thought. Like I don't just put them in there and keep them in there because I'm lazy. I'm not. So if I, yeah, you know, that's just how I roll. If I like something, I'll keep it in there for a while. So, all right. So here's a different question. This is cool. Lennart Guitar asks, not a gas related question, but how much do you practice per day on average and how much time do you spend fooling around on the guitar? So it just depends on what my week is like now. There's a couple of times where I'll sit down and fiddle around with the guitar. Probably not as much as I should. Most days I'm filming something where I'm picking up a guitar, and even if it's just a gear demo or whatever. So most days I play, I'd say a minimum of 20 minutes. But over the last few days, I've been tracking some new songs for another album, like not the one that is just about finished. It's like 95% finished, but I've been putting together 10 or 11 new songs as well. So I played guitar and bass for like maybe 5 hours over the course of 2 days recently. So it just depends on how much I've got going on. But when I was really wanting to hone the licks and all that kind of stuff, I'd like to practice for 30, 40 minutes a day. That would be the best possible amount for me, even 20 minutes. If I can play, you know, say 15 minutes a day over the course of the week, or 1 hour a day per week, I'll take the 15 minutes per day. For me, I need to play almost daily to keep things moving along, or every few days or something like that at least. So, I like to pick up the guitar nearly every other day. The best practice I can do is literally playing songs or backing tracks and just playing along. Noodling around without context isn't helpful a lot of the time. So I would always suggest playing to a backing track or a CD or something that keeps you in time, because it's one thing to learn like, you know, a lick like that. But when you're presented with a shuffle, you got to be able to sort of move things around, different timing, all that. So I try to practice with backing tracks, unless, of course, I'm just shooting lots of demos. But in terms of the demo stuff, a lot of them are to backing tracks now. So I have to force myself to play in time and not hit too many bad notes. And sometimes those things take forever. So I just have bad days sometimes where I'm not playing well, or I'm tired and not feeling it. So yeah, I don't know if that's the answer you were looking for, but back when I was first learning blues licks, I'd practice a lot. These days I'm practicing more in different ways. Like, it's more relevant to the YouTube thing and more relevant to kind of writing songs as opposed to stealing new licks. I'm not doing as much of that anymore as I can, but the more I practice, the more flow I have. There's no doubt about it. After playing for 2 days straight, the third day I played live and I killed it. It was amazing. So it's a, you know, it's one of those things. You feel confident, you know what you're capable of, things are moving well. That's just, yeah, the way I look at it anyway. So so Roy DW3, I hope that's how I say that, asked me, do you still use your Mustang 3? You mentioned that they might be upgrading to a new system soon. Yeah, I don't use it much anymore. Reason is, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, all my friends have got them now, and I kind of like a point of difference in my tone, and I had that with the Mustang 3, but now, like, I got like 4 or 5 really close friends that all have one as well, so that's why I kind of went back to the Bandit. It just as a point of difference. It's not to take away from the Mustang 3, because I've been a huge advocate of that for so long. I think what's going to happen is when I get confirmation that the new one's coming out, I'll probably upgrade and get the next one and start sort of doing the thing again. And but yeah, right now, the only amps I'm really using live are the two Fender valve amps. I've got the Blues Deluxe and the Super Reverb. And, you know, for my jam night now, I'm going to take the PV, because there's 2 or 3 Mustangs there every week. So there's no real need for me to have one anymore for, you know, to play live at least anyway. So, all right. So And mentioned in the chat, he said, I gave my Mustang the ultimate upgrade by hooking up the Kemper profiling amp in the return loop. Wow. Yeah, that would be something to see. If you've done a demo of that, mate, post it in the chat, because I'd love to see that. That would be super cool. That'd be really cool. All right, so Bradley John Hunt asks, you've had any experience with the deluxe reverbs, right? All the reviews and demos show that they break up around 4 to 5-ish, and none state how loud the amp is at that point. All right, so if you want to buy a deluxe reverb, they're not like the ultimate clean amp. They're pretty loud at 4 and 5, man. That's loud enough for most rooms. It also depends on what guitar you play. If you're playing a Strat with like vintage pickups or a Telecaster, it's probably not going to throw the amp into breakup at 4 or 5. You probably have to get it up past there. But realistically, I didn't have my deluxe reverbs up at that point a whole lot. There was one time I had it on 10 with no pedals. And you know what? This is something that I think most people won't agree with, but this is what I've noticed. I liked the deluxe reverb still just, you know, as loud as I could possibly have it in the room without killing everybody, but then using a pedal to me sounded better than just running the amp up loud. But anyway, that's not really your question, but at the point where they're breaking up, they're really, really loud. I wouldn't be surprised if most places, like small venues especially, would be asking you to turn down. I ran them quite a number of times. Looks like we might have frozen